Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
We live in a culture that simply makes it difficult sometimes. Well, makes it difficult for Christians to live and to be able to live fully in the Christian life. And we often face so many tough choices throughout our daily living as we engage in the culture with the truth of Jesus, of course. And that's something that we need to keep in mind, that every time we engage culture, we do it with the intention of not just, you know, like being there with culture and working with one another. It's more like to influence culture with Jesus Christ and his love. And a lot of talk comes about when Halloween comes around, October 31st, you know, with churches telling people to go home and shut down and close the doors or go somewhere else or do something else, and or whether it is, no, there's nothing wrong with it or whatever. And I could sit here or I could stand here and tell you the whole story behind Halloween, but most of you might know it already, and all of the stuff and how it started and all these things about cults and the occult and blah, 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 and all of these superstitions and beliefs and things like that. Well, the majority of people don't take those seriously anyway nowadays. They just think of it as a day of fun and going out there and doing whatever they do. But you can look around and you can tell that things start getting, things are different in each season, right? When you have Christmas, everything is a Christmas tree and lights everywhere. When it's Mardi Gras, we in New Orleans decorate too, right? People decorate for Mardi Gras. It's like that. 4th of July comes and you got the bright red, white, and blue lights everywhere. Well, Halloween comes and you see these big old inflatables. Now, I saw one the other day and was like, whoa, who would put that at their house? It was amazing. It was huge, right? But all over the TV, the radio, and the internet, and everywhere you go, in schools, they give a lot of attention to October 31st. And if you thought it was a kid's holiday, you're wrong. Did you know that 60% of the costumes that are sold for Halloween are for adults? So adults buy more costumes than children. Well, they don't buy them, you know what I mean. Well, you know what I'm saying. But more adults use costumes than children nowadays. As a matter of fact, let me give you some statistics of last year in 2015. Approximate statistics, of course. The number of people celebrating Halloween, 157 million Americans. That's 71.5%. Number of Americans who will dress in Halloween costumes, 68 million people. That's almost 70. That's what, like 20-something percent, 30%. Total Halloween expenses, check this out, $7 billion in America. That's twice what people spent in 2005. So in 10 years, it has doubled to $7 billion. And so in average, with $7 billion spending in Halloween, the average spending per person in the United States is $74 per person. So if you have a family of four, take those numbers and make it 300, right? The largest Halloween expense, $2.5 billion in costumes. But the amount spent on candy, $2.1 billion. It's a big industry, isn't it? I mean, the roots of Halloween have entangled the roots of our culture and our, and what I like to call, and what the Apostle Paul calls the fruits of darkness, seem so normal because they have entangled with our roots. And as believers, we need to take a stand and we need to know what we do. We need to know what are we supposed to do on that day. Then, Pastor, go home and lock ourselves up? Or are we supposed to go out there and do whatever they do or whatever it is? So we need to start thinking of our own roots and start sinking in them even deeper. Not through, and not to our culture, but through culture down to our foundation, which is the Word of God. And we need to be mindful of that, because Halloween can be a problem to Christians, but it can also be a potential. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. Is it a problem, or does it bring any potential? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, and I want to read in verse 7 through 17. If you don't have a Bible, there will be the verses on the wall here. I'm using the New American Standard Bible, so if you use any other version, don't get scared. They're just about the same, a few words here and there. And the Word of God says, and I want to preface this, because in chapter 5 of Ephesians, if you look at the first few verses, he's talking about, be imitators of God, beloved children, walk in love in Christ as he loved us and gave himself for us, and the morality and purity, and he starts making a contrast in the way in which we ought to walk compared to the world. But then in verse 7, he says, therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason, it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And I will stop right there. God bless his word. May he add his blessing as I speak about it. Amen. So let's just think of this for a second. Let's talk about the problem first. And the problem that I see with Halloween is playing with fear and death. Playing with fear and death. Why do I say that? Because we have grown accustomed to playing around with horror, suspense, and with terror, and with fear, aren't we? Now, I got to tell you the truth. I grew up in a home where horror movies was a given. My mom would terrorize us watching horror movies. Some of you have heard me say that before. Maybe that's why I am the way that I am. But we used to watch horror movies all the time. Like all those crazy movies like The Hills Have Eyes. Remember that? 1970s. Oh, my God. That's some crazy stuff. The Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Not the one of these days, but some of you remember that. Oh, my goodness. Those were some crazy movies. But we used to watch all that all the time. So, and then now that I've grown, I'm like, why did she do that to us? Right? But at the same time, I'm thinking, why do we do that to ourselves? We love to live for the thrill of a horror and suspense and things like that. It is natural in our flesh to desire to be scared. You're like, don't deny it. You see, that's why horror movies make so much money. You know, like the paranormal movies and whatever they, I don't even know the titles of so many out there. Saw 1, Saw 2, Saw 3. They saw everything, you know. It's amazing. It's crazy. I now, and especially this month, as I'm flipping through channels at home, sometimes I will see stuff like Saw and things like that. And I'll like, let's see how far I get with this. And I'll just stay there. I can't watch this anymore. And I just go, I just can't. It's just not right. But you see, Satan really wants us to believe that all these things are simply childish and fun. He wants to make us believe that this is all simple entertainment. And guess what? Let me tell you something. How is it that Satan detracts us from God? Isn't it through fear? Yeah. And then how does God attract us? Through love. It's totally different. We're going the opposite way. Children and adults, we have been conditioning ourselves to be receptive, to be okay with the occult and all these practices, and we have been desensitized by all of these things. It just doesn't feel us, so we want more. When I say some of the movie titles that I can remember, some of you probably go, "Oh yeah, I've seen that," but there's some scarier ones, right? And then you just want it more and more and more. You want it to be more scary. I don't know. We're attracted to fear. And the more you go to the movies, the more you get seared in your conscience, right, that you want to do it. It's like a roller coaster. How do you lose the fear of roller coasters? Watching them? No. Riding them, brother. You ride the roller coaster. That's how you get the fear out of yourself. I remember when I was 7 years old in Coney Island, New York, trying to ride a little roller coaster, a little one. And I was scared to death. I had to grab a hold of the thing here and the thing here and push with my legs. And of course, I didn't make it. I wasn't supposed to be on it because I wasn't tall enough. That's the story of my life. But anyway, I would go tippy-toeing, and the lady knew, and she was like, "Go. Y'all get on it. Go ahead." Typical New Yorker, right? And I would go on there, and I would ride. It was the fear for life. I mean, every time that thing turned, I was off the seat. I was flying off. And it was scary, and I kept trying and trying. I would cry. I would sweat. I would do so many things, but I would ride it. Now, take me to Universal Studios, and I dare anyone here to ride everything with me. I'll ride anything and everything. We'll go, Rosa? You on? All right. We on now. I lost a fear. No, actually, I didn't. Guess what? I'm still scared. But if I have another dumb person next to me who's going on it, a goober next to me that's willing to ride it, I get pumped up by another scary cat here. Does that happen to you? It's like you're scared, but if somebody says, "Come on, let's go." Let's go. And you stand in line 3 hours dreading this thing. Called the Red Rocket. Oh my God, it's so awesome. Something like that is called, right? You've been on there, right? It's awesome. But it's scary. And we're kind of addicted to that. The same thing happens with movies and all of that. And it's simply, when you look at all these things, especially when you look at the horror side of Halloween, it's just a mockery to the holiness of life, to the sanctity of life. And it makes it look like dying gives you power. Vampires and zombies, Walking Dead, that's a big series on TV now. Everybody and their brother wants to watch it. Why is it? Why are we so fascinated by death, thinking that it gives power? And then we get scared when we go to bed at night. Isn't that dumb? I don't know. I don't know because I don't watch that stuff. I don't want to do that. That's messed up. But Halloween and all these things desensitize ourselves. As we get exposed to violence, we get exposed to all of these death and mutilations, and it's gruesome, right? And then we line up to buy tickets to go to haunted houses around here and to look at the demonic and bloody violent themes and ghosts and all of that. Now my question is, are these appropriate images in which Christians should embrace? Are these appropriate images and things that we should do? No. We may be playing with those things, but in reality, inside of our hearts and minds, there's a battle. There is a fight with darkness. And you know what? While we are playing with these things, there are angels fighting demons around us. And it's a real battle. While we're sitting here listening to this, there's angels fighting demons for you, to protect you, to help you. You know, while we're playing with darkness, all of that stuff is happening. While we're having fun with the works of darkness, God is calling us to shine the light. You see, we may be playing with darkness, but God, who is light, he is serious about darkness and about light too. It's a distortion of this world. That death is looked like something that gives power. It's just not. And it makes it so attractive. Have you looked at the vampires in the movies lately? I remember when the vampires used to be ugly people. Now it's like the most sensual, beautiful, amazing, good-looking people, right? Right? And they include sex in there to make it even more appealing. It's crazy. See, death is our enemy, and we shouldn't be playing with it. We should take it seriously, because death does not play with us. So, you can face death without fears, because Jesus defeated death for you and me. He did it when he rose from the grave. It's a distorted reality. It's a distorted reality, period. And it's not just entertainment, because God didn't call us to be entertained. He called us to be trained in righteousness. That's what he called us. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. This is an amazing verse. We ought to learn it by heart. I'm trying to, but I haven't yet. But I will, I promise. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good, of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Think on these things. Get them in your brain. Get them in your mind. Meditate upon these things is what he's saying. Whatever is good, whatever is holy, whatever, all that. But yet, how can we think of all these good things if we fill our mind with junk? You fill your mind with junk, your life is going to be consumed by it. And it's a distorted reality, like I said once again. And God is not making a movie, you know. Hell is real. It's not a movie. And the God of the Bible is real. He gets real with that. And he gets really angry when we play with that. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14 over there, where we were. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and rise from the dead. And what? And Christ will shine on you. You see, fear is not a Christian value. It's not a Christian value. It is not. Fear is not. Yet the Bible says, fear the Lord. Yes, but it's a different kind of fear. It's a fear of holiness and reverence when we stand before him. It is not being scared like we know. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For we have not been given a spirit of fear, but of what? Power, love, and discipline or self-control. See, God doesn't want us to live life scared, not even playing around. It's like the man that was walking down the street, and all of a sudden a black cat crossed his path. He's like, oh my God, oh no, a black cat just crossed in front of me. What does that mean? He saw a man and he said, listen, I gotta ask you a question. This cat just blew right by me, and what do you think my fate is gonna be? And he says, well, that depends if you're a rat or not. Right? Obviously, there's a problem, and the problem is bigger than just Halloween. But let's look at the potential. The potential. We need to celebrate love. We need to celebrate life. That's what we need to be celebrating, not death. Not that. And if you're going to celebrate the blood of Jesus Christ, who gave himself on a cross for us. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, there is no fear in love. Check that out. No fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. Amen? See, perfect love casts out fear because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. So don't fear, just love. Experience God's love. That's the way he wants to draw you. You see, a lot of people are, listen, let me tell you, I hate it when Christians try to convince people to come to Christ, scaring them. They want to scare them into heaven. Have you ever heard people doing that? You need Jesus or you're going to burn in hell. You don't want to burn in hell, right? Oh my God, what a way to scare people into Christ. That's not the way to do it. God didn't want to come over and scare us. He came over to love us, amen? It's a totally different thing. We need to change our strategy and be careful because there is no fear in love. Why? Why is it that fear is dissipated with love? Because when you know somebody loves you, you don't fear rejection. You don't fear abandonment. You don't fear punishment. You don't fear any of those things because you know there is true love. And that's the way God loves you. And it's unfortunate that so many Christians live and know that God loves them, but they live in fear. of punishment from God. Not to say that God will not discipline us, but God is a God of love. And yet the one who loves us will discipline us, but will not punish us. Because punishment means casting us out. And he's not going to do that to us because he loves us. See, God wants to simply cast all of our fears out. And he also wants us to celebrate life. You see, this is an opportunity for the church to publicly display the love of God. Amen. You see, Halloween comes, and once again I say, we need to turn on the light. Don't turn them off. See, God's word gives us the alternative, and it tells us to be the light because we are the light. Now check it out. Romans 12:21, the encouragement we receive from the Apostle Paul. Now, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You see, we got to be better than them. We got to do better than them. We got to outshine these things, right? And we got to make it right. Instead of providing our children a way to learn and to be part of these cultural and whatever you want to call them things, give them a chance to glorify God through what they do. Not only that day, but each and every day. It's important. You see, one of the things, I had a mother write me the other day and said, Pastor, I got a question. You see, at the school, they're asking my daughter to bring candy and to bring a bucket and because they're having a Halloween party. And I've talked to the teacher and this and that and all that. And I said, well, great. You talked to the teacher? Yes, I did. I told her, I'm a Christian. I don't necessarily celebrate. I don't celebrate Halloween. But you know what? I don't mind giving out candy. But the thing is, and I said, well, great. You've done a great job. Then it's all good. But make sure that people know. Make sure that your children know. Make sure that your children know that they're not missing out because they're not celebrating the way the people celebrate out there. That's our problem. We don't come up with our substitution or a solution. We just say, no, you can't do that. But why? Because I said so. And the child goes like, one of these days I'm going to try and see what it's all about. Right? They get curious. Curiosity killed a cat. Amazing. You see, we should know that we need to let our children know that there's an almighty God. You see, that he loves, that he protects, and that children are part of something even greater than all of these things. Because they're going to feel like they don't belong when they go to the school. They're going to feel like they're outcasts when they go there and people say, you don't have a costume. They're going to feel bad. So you need to give them a reason. And there's plenty of reason in Christ to feel wanted, to feel loved, and not rejected or outcast. Amen? So you need to make sure you keep that up with them. God wants us to change our culture, not just ignore it. If we just ignore it, is it going to change anything? No. And we've been called to make change, to create change, because we've been changed. Amen? We've been talking about transformation the past 3 weeks. You've been transformed so that you can live a transformed life so that others can live transformed too. So we need to fully understand, and we need to let our children make sure that they know that just because they don't participate in these activities the way everybody else does, you have to be creative in doing something with them. And it all comes down to this. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of God, right? 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whatever you do, do for the glory of God. Whatever you do. Now you tell me, in your Christian life, what fits under whatever, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, whatever. What is whatever? Whatever. You name it, whatever. Amen. Anything and everything possible in your life should be done for the glory of God. Now, I have to admit, I fail at that miserably. But we need to try. Amen. We need to try. And October 31st should be another day for the glory of God. Because he created it for you and I to enjoy and to worship him. So celebrate life. Because Jesus already defeated death. He was raised again. And we have life and life abundant. John 10:10. Amen. Now, so what do? We light it up. You want to light it up? I hear the kids saying that all the time. Light it up. Right? Light it up. Don't turn your lights out. Don't turn out your lights. Let your light shine before men. Have you ever heard that before? Let your light shine before men. You've heard that in a song, right? No. What about Matthew 5:16? Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. See, you want to bring glory to God? Do the right thing and shine your light. Make sure that Jesus is known through you. So let's do something different. Instead of shutting down and turning down our lights and stay in the darkness in our houses, that's not what I'm promoting. Turn on your lights and start shining as children of the light. And I'm not talking about turning the lights on in your house. Turn the lights on in your heart. Make them bright. Change them for LEDs if you have to. Gosh, we need to light up our lives. See, there are so many people that need you and me, that need our prayers, that need a witness of Christ, that need somebody to let them know how much God loves them and for them to know the truth. And if you have Christ, you have the truth. So shine with the truth. Even Jesus said, what good does it do to have a light and put it under a basket? It doesn't do you any good. Well, you may say, well, what's the matter, Pastor? You don't believe in ghosts? Yeah, I do believe in ghosts. I call them what they are. Demons. There's another one that I believe in. Follow the Holy Ghost. Amen. I believe in ghosts. Yeah. The Holy Ghost, of course, in his work. We are children of the light. And even what fellowship there is between light and darkness. You know what darkness needs? Light. Simple as that. So what we got to do, what are we going to do then? Share the sweetness of eternal life. Share the sweetness. Give out some candy. Be prepared. Did we say that last week around here or not? You know, take the chance. We are collecting candy here at the church. Not for the pastor. Trust me, it's not for me. I'm bringing my bag of candy too and chocolate and all. Oh, my God. I have to admit, yesterday, I'm going to be confessing here. Yesterday, we were sitting at dinner, and my wife stood up and went to the kitchen, and I knew exactly what she was doing. She was looking for something sweet. And we were sitting at the table. I said, baby, you better come back with something sweet or stay there. And we all started laughing, and she said, well, that's the problem. There are no sweets here except like energy bars with caramel. No, I want energy. I want a comatose myself is what I want right now. No, I don't want that. Well, we have these. No, I don't want those little bars that taste like dirt. I want some chocolate or something sweet. And honest to God, I'm sitting there at the table. We're playing around and I look. Three bags of candy and chocolate that we had bought to bring to the church. That was sitting right there. Right there. And I saw just, all I could see was Twix. Snickers. I'm like, don't make me open one of them bags, okay? And then I said, I tell you what. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. So we went to Baskin-Robbins. My God, it was awesome. You know what? Give some candy. Be prepared. Like I said, let the children send out a message that is sweet. As you may already know, we are collecting candy at the church. For what reason? We have our children, and they're going to be packing bags of candy. There's going to be a little gospel tract with the candy that they can share when the kids come. The last few years, I've been doing this every year, and I'm going to do it again. And if you want to join me, you can come to my house. Just bring some candy. and I'll have a bunch of tracks. I'll have candy. I'll have all kinds of stuff spread out, and I'll open my garage, and I'll just stand there with my family, waiting for people to come and talk to them and tell them about Jesus and give them candy and tell them how sweet he is. You know what's sweeter than this that I'm giving you? Jesus. And if you don't mind, right inside that little bag of candy, when you get home, there's something for you to sweeten up your life even more. If you'll just read it and then let me know about it. Even if I just say something like that, sometimes it gives me a chance to talk to people. Sometimes they're like, oh, thank you, and they just keep going, right? Some kids come over and they just, you know, they knock on your door, and before I'm like, okay, go to the garage. And I opened the garage door, and the kid ran around. And by the time I got to the table with the candy, because I wasn't ready to open shop yet, okay? By the time I got to the table, that kid had run around and did this. And I was like, yo! That was bad. So I learned my lesson. Next time I open the garage door and I'm just standing there. Right? But I'm prepared. I want the children to know that there's something more than just a piece of candy or whatever. I want them to know that Jesus loves them. And you know what? What message? When children go knock on your door, trick-or-treating, and you don't open the door, but they hear your TV, they hear you're in there, they know you're in there, what message do they get? They leave sad, right? And like, wow, those are good Christians. They don't celebrate Halloween. I'm so wrong. I'm a sinner. I should have never knocked on their door. Oh, my God, forgive me, for I have sinned against you. No. You know what they're thinking? You remember what you used to think when you went trick-or-treating back? Aren't you stingy? I'm coming back with some eggs. Watch me. All right? Toilet paper all over the place. Y'all laughing back there. You know what I'm talking about. Oh, yeah. You see, they don't care. You see, they're not going to leave your house thinking, oh, my God, I believe in all these goblins and ghosts and vampires, and they don't. They're not going to think about that. They don't care what Halloween is all about. All they care is that they get to dress up and be funny and go out there and get some candy. That's all I cared about when I was a kid. But you see, they don't know the truth, and we have the truth. And while all of these practices may have had their roots in the demonic and diabolic and whatever, all they want to do is have fun. And I know, and you know, and I know that you don't play with fire. But yet, the majority of the parents have heard the stories, and they know where Halloween comes from, most likely, but they just want to see their children happy. They want to see their children having fun. And of course, watching some horror movies, because it's all entertaining. Now, let me tell you, just because they do it all in fun and nothing else, that doesn't make all of these practices acceptable before God. But one thing is that it gives us an opportunity. While we may not accept some of the practices, it gives us a chance to shine our light to all the people that come to our houses. You know that it's the only holiday in which strangers will come knocking at your door and you get to meet them? How many people come to your house on Thanksgiving from your neighborhood? Happy Thanksgiving. Here's a pumpkin pie. No. How many of your neighbors come over and say, Merry Christmas? We're just saying Merry Christmas to all the neighbors. That's all we're doing. And by the way, if you have any fruitcake or something, I know. Ugh. No. But on Halloween, you have them knocking at your door every 10 minutes, every 5 minutes. It's a great opportunity. And by the way, please, okay, this is now on my soapbox before I leave. Don't buy all that cheap, nasty, ugly, you don't want candy. Oh, my God. Remember when you used to go trick-or-treating How much you hate it when they give you those nasty candy. They just, that they can't call that candy. And you'd go home and you're like, Mom, put those in the bowl. These are mine. Remember that? Because, and people look at your faces when you're giving them the candy. They're like, thank you. All right. But you have some good candy in there. The kids are like, you want the kids to want to grab your hand and take the whole arm with them. You know, you want them, you want to give them something that they want, you know. So messed up. But you know what? Giving candy may be a sweet treat and maybe cool and everything. But just remember too, you have something sweeter than that, and his name is Jesus. He is a person. He is alive. And he's done so much for you and me. So while Halloween Day may be a problem, let's make it a potential. Let's take advantage of it. Remember, the Bible says that overcome evil with good. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So share the light of Christ. Share the light that is within you. Share the sweetness of the love of Christ. Wrap up the gift of salvation and eternal life that Christ has given to you and just wrap it up with love and give it out. Take it to everyone who comes knocking at your door. It is not very often that you have people knocking at your door willing for you to give them something. So let's light it up in the Spirit and let's give out Jesus Christ. Amen.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presented a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.